Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the CASA Connection podcast here at CASA of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties in New Jersey. We hope that you are doing well during this time of the year, during this holiday season. I'm Jeff Warren. I'm here with my, our executive director, Tracy Heisler here. And Tracy, it's good to see you. Hey, you were on a great trip with your family recently, and I just want to say it's great to have you back. It's great to be talking into these microphones about the world of foster care. But you were over in Scotland.
I was. Scotland and Iceland with threats of volcanoes and earthquakes, and then trying to drive on the wrong side of the road on the wrong side of the car. Gosh. It was just an...
I'm glad you survived.
It was one of those, yes, it's great to be alive.
Yes.
Kinds of trips. So it's pretty awesome.
I love that we are going to be talking about now on this particular podcast episode, we're going to be talking about building relationships and how important relationships are with youth and how to sustain those relationships and what it all means within the world of foster care. So you were the expert in this realm.
I'm not the expert. In
research that we've done here, whether it's at CASA Shaw or whether it's within the foster care world in general, I mean, there are always, you always find websites and they have lists of different things that you need to do and things and suggestions, I should say, that parents or caregivers really should embark on with their youth, whether you're checking in with your youth every now and then, being present within a conversation, thinking about their culture, or taking a genuine interest in what they are doing. This can be a challenge for some folks and caregivers at times. And I think it's important we talk about this and have this conversation as part of the CASA Connection podcast so that we are able to, kind of step back and say we shouldn't take things like this for granted.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, one of the foundational things that is really important for people to understand, the number one predictor for kids coming out the other side of negative childhood experiences is having an engaged, caring relationship with a safe adult.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the number one thing. It's no magic pill. It's no special therapy. It's having somebody who genuinely cares about who you are.
Sounds easy. And we talk about it here in the exactly. At CASA and the foster care world all the time. Sounds easy, but not necessarily all that easy.
Well, and if you're an advocate coming from the outside in, you have to build that relationship. You don't just magically get a court order and you're suddenly that engaged, caring adult who the child knows and trusts and can help them recover. It's something that we have to work at. And there's some real foundational issues that I think advocates need to recognize and embrace, because it can be disappointing when you don't automatically have rapport with the child that you're appointed to.
I think that's an interesting notion. Do you mind really quick if we kind of touch on that
Sure.
Because I can reflect back on my first case that I had, and mm-hmm. I did not have it. And I tried for months and months until it started coming. It did. It started coming. But that trust is so important. And gaining that trust just takes time. And it's important for especially new advocates to realize that.
Exactly. And you also have to realize from the child's perspective, they've experienced abuse or neglect, presumably from the people in their own family, in their own home, the people who are supposed to look out for you the most. They likely have had multiple resource parents, multiple caregivers, multiple therapists. People come and go in their lives, in their world, when they're in foster care.
Yeah.
And it's the people who keep showing up who are the ones that they come to learn that they can trust. So I remember a case, and I've referenced it before. I'm not sure if I've referenced it here, but it was just so remarkable. One of our advocates is a tremendous human being named Lisa, who was visiting with a child all the way down in South Jersey. It was a 2-hour drive down and a 2-hour drive back to make her monthly visits to check in on this kid.
Incredible dedication.
And this child wouldn't speak to her, wouldn't answer her questions, wouldn't make eye contact with her, just was completely shut down.
After a 2-hour drive.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But Lisa kept at it month after month, 6 or 8 months into her working the case. She got a call from this child because they were going to be moving her. And the first person that she thought of who could help keep her where she wanted to be was Lisa, the one who kept showing up.
Yeah.
And so you have to recognize that even if it doesn't feel like you're making progress, every visit that you make, every promise that you keep, everything that you follow through on that this child is looking for is another stepping stone in building that relationship. And it's really important.
Absolutely is. And it goes back to that list that I initially said at the top of this podcast episode, and specifically being fully present for a child. You know, when you spend time with a young person, to be fully present, you're giving them your full attention. And at that point, like, you're an asset to this individual, and you can be open, you can be real, you can be honest with a child when you are listening to them. And that is the key. Everybody in the world, especially children, want to be heard. They want to be listened to. And you are able to make a positive impact when you're doing that with a child. And even if the child's just listening to you, like in Lisa's case, mm-hmm. Lisa was doing all the talking, child wasn't communicating back, but the child was actually listening to her.
Yeah.
And then there was a 180 that happened, particularly with that case. So being fully present is so important.
So put your phone down.
Yeah. Keep it in the car. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So, but you know, showing up is a huge part of the work that we do.
Yeah.
And I've worked in CASA programs for more than 20 years now. I know that volunteer in-person visits is sometimes challenging, and it's part of the standards for everyone that we have to lay eyes on these kids at least once every 30 days. And for advocates who don't understand what the big deal is when you don't show up, this is part of the big deal. It's building the relationship, but it's also ensuring that they're okay. You don't know what you don't know until you show up.
Exactly. And it's, again, it's this because of the standards, it's once every 30 days. Anything can happen to a child in the course of an hour, you know, let alone 30 days.
30 days is a long time.
It is a very long time.
Especially when you are living in somebody else's house.
Yep.
And you have this, you know, label of foster child.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your school has changed. Yeah. Maybe there's bullying going on. Maybe there's emotional issues that are still present from the abuse or neglect.
Yeah.
But that's why you have to be there, and you have to look them in the eye, and you have to talk to them, and you have to be quiet sometimes and just listen. But the showing up is really 2/3 of the battle.
Absolutely is. And I think what we're talking about now, there may be some folks that are listening to this, Tracy, and saying, yeah, okay, this is common sense. But for some, it's not necessarily the easiest concepts to grasp when you're trying to build relationships with youth, and especially youth that have been abused and neglected.
And I think that there are some foundational steps that we can use from just our social science world, right?
Of
things like looking somebody in the eye, of being quiet and listening and not arguing, but just really trying to hear what they're having to say.
Yeah.
Don't problem solve everything. Just be present.
Yep.
Ask how they're doing. If they're not in a place that they want to talk or things feel uncomfortable, how's school? How's the dog? How are visits going? You know, what's your favorite video game right now? Kids will eventually open up, but it takes time. We, in our particular program, we're not allowed to transport, but being in the car is an excellent place where kids can't get away.
They can't get away. They may try, but they're not getting away.
Lock the doors exactly. And start the quizzing. But having those situations where, it's a quiet interaction.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot of bells and whistles and go, 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 because that doesn't create intimacy.
Right.
That might create fun or, you know, connection in that matter, but it doesn't create that sense of one-to-one that we need to start building.
Yeah. On our next podcast episode, we're going to be getting into some very positive impact stories. So we're going to be talking about some really good stuff on our next podcast episode in a couple weeks. But Tracy, I wanted to talk about the continual process of when a child is abused or neglected and what that actually does to the relationship with a parent, specifically a biological parent, because something that I've always found interesting working for CASA, working within the foster care world, is that kids always inevitably want to go back to their biological parents, regardless of the abuse and neglect. At times, you know, you know, most of the time is they just want mom, they just want dad, they want their biological parents at the end of the day. And sometimes, regardless of what the type of abuse was, it's something that's always very much intrigued me. And I think it intrigues probably, or maybe it makes people's, you know, scratch their heads about, why does this continually happen? You know, why can't, you know, why it's that belief of, okay, let's just get the kid out of there and they never have to speak to mom and dad again. But that's not what it's about for us.
It's not. And it's about rebuilding healthy relationships. And parents, most parents that, you know, are in this situation are asked to go to parenting classes.
Yeah.
And one of the topical shifts that we're seeing in child welfare, which I think is really positive, is parenting classes that are embracing the idea of training parents on the impacts of adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, trauma-informed parenting classes. Because many times the parents themselves were raised as children in families where there was abuse or neglect.
Yeah.
And you don't understand why you act or respond in the way that you do until you learn the why.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And I think that that's a really important shift. The other thing is a shift towards trauma-informed therapy, both for parents and for the children.
Yes.
Because they can start to rebuild the relationship in a healthier way. And it's not a surprise that kids want to go back home. You know, 99.9% of the kids I've worked with love their mom, love their dad. They just want whatever the abuse is to stop.
Right. Yeah.
And so as CASA programs, it has always been our belief that when we help parents, we help the children as well. They aren't separate entities in that sense. They're still a family unit until the court terminates parental rights.
Right, right.
And so if we can find a way to strengthen that net for parents, then we're happy to do that.
All right. Sounds good. I think that's probably going to do it for us on this particular episode. Is there anything else you wanted to get into with regard to, you know, building those relationships and just relationships with youth and how to gain that trust? And just, is there any other subject matters you want to dive into before we move on to bigger and better things here at CASA?
I think I would just, if you're an advocate listening and you struggle with your monthly visit and you don't see the value in it, that it's the same thing every time, the child doesn't want to talk to you, you just talk about superficial things.
And you're like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please know that it's important. Making those monthly visits are important. Building trust by following through with the things that you're supposed to do with that child is crucial.
It's critical for that youth.
That kid has already been let down by all the people in their lives who are supposed to care for them. Don't dogpile on that. That's one of the reasons we don't promise things to kids. We don't say, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what the future holds.
Yeah.
But whatever you've committed to, follow through, and it will make a difference.
That's how you build trusting relationships and life in general, too. So
it's
a great way to end this CASA Connection podcast. Tracy, thank you so much for your insight, as always.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, I have a queue out the door of people waiting with bated breath.
Exactly.
My golden nuggets.
Exactly. We're looking out the window. Look at all these people, folks. Oh, my gosh. We got to get through this by the end of the day. Holy cow.
The nuggets of wisdom just keep right on falling.
Make sure you check out our website, casashaw.org. We've got a ton of great resources on that website. We have our CASA Shaw family video series as well on our YouTube channel. You can
which is great. I have to say, all the shout outs to Jeff, because he's done a wonderful job
thanks
putting them together. We've had just tremendous speakers and presenters who have really brought world-class information.
Well, thank you.
We hope you'll use it.
Thank you. Yeah, go to YouTube, search Casa Shaw, and you will see on our YouTube channel that we have a playlist of all of our Casa Shaw family video series, everything from how do you care for textured hair to infant brain development to educational advocacy. We've got a ton of great content there, and we've got more coming in the future as well. A lot more subject matters we're going to be diving into.
They're queued right up.
Yes, they are. Again, CasaShaw.org, and you can follow us on Instagram at Casa_Shaw, and we are on Facebook as well, facebook.com/CasaShaw. Take care, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Have a wonderful day.